Welcome to the St. Brigid's podcast. St. Brigid's is a congregation of Christ Church Cathedral, Vancouver, a community where questions are honored, faith is nurtured, and discipleship pursued. Learn more at thecathedral.ca/worship.
Let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. That was such a beautiful reading of the Magnificat. And I have this horrible thing where I cry at beautiful things. And I haven't preached in person for 2 years now. And this has been a very good day. So thank you for having me. I mean, I've preached to my computer 3 times a week for those 2 years, but still. Let's talk about Mary. But first, hello. My name is Heather, and I am a priest from Edmonton, and I am so very pleased to be here. It's not only terrific to be preaching in this beautiful place, but it's terrific to be together. And today, as I said, we're talking about Mary. So whether you're celebrating the Feast of the Assumption, that wonderful day in the church year when we remember the extra biblical account when Mary is taken up bodily into heaven like Jesus and Elijah and Moses, or the Dormition, or the Feast of Mary the Virgin, or even if you haven't thought about Mary much at all since Christmas, I don't want to make assumptions. Thank you. So glad to be here. But in all seriousness, I love preaching on the challenging ones. And Mary is challenging for me because I have a lot to say about her. I have a complicated relationship with the Mother of God because, forgive me for this, I hear such gendered disservice being done to our mother, to Mary, in so many corners of our church. I hear her used to tell women that their jobs are to be like a Mary that looks like a divine vending machine, where we can all bring our requests, our petitions, and our sorrows, and from whom we receive comfort in a transactional relationship. Or she's completely ignored, not mentioned at all except as a background character whose job ended when Jesus was first baptized, and John and the real work, the work of the men folk, the work of the gospel, could be done. As a child, I played her in Christmas pageants, and I prayed earnestly that one day I would bring God into the world just like she did when I grew up. I remember the little blue smock and the veil and the reverent hush of the church in Fort McMurray as Joseph and I wheeled in a wooden donkey on Christmas Eve. Joseph wasn't taking his job seriously enough, and I have yet to forgive his sticky little heart. But then I got older. And Mary disappeared. We left her in Sunday school. Mary, like so many women do when they become mothers, when they reach a certain age, she simply disappeared and faded into the background. That is, until I was spending a month in Pusey House at Oxford. There I was in a beautiful, permanent private hall, a place established by Pusey and Newman and the Tractarian movement to be sure that the Anglican faith would continue at that university no matter what happened in college chapels, even if they were being turned into libraries. It was a little castle with an incredible, incredible church in it and a breathtaking choir, a place where morning prayer was sung every day and followed by a delicious breakfast. So basically, it was this Anglophile's approximation of heaven. It was ideal. My first Sunday there, I attended the main service. The choir was spectacular, as you would expect. The sermon was enlivening, and after the blessing, I was packing up my things to go and explore the city and basking in a very beautiful postlude when all of a sudden the music swelled. A crescendo of sound, and the whole altar party filed back in different outfits, and just at the height of the music, the peak of the crescendo, a spotlight came on, illuminating a statue of Our Lady, of Mary, Mother, Virgin, Theotokos, and I had no idea what to do. Everyone was bowing and praying the Magnificat and my little suburban Edmonton low church heart froze. Me, the girl who says Via Media a little too often and likes to talk about the progression of the Anglican Church from the Catholic Church in England, just apart from Rome, and the global and its transition to the global Anglican Communion that it is today, contextual yet grounded in a shared history and tradition. It's my favorite topic of conversation, but I was stumped by Marian devotion. And that's a little crazy. Because Mary gave us Jesus. Without her, all of this, we wouldn't have it. The God made flesh wouldn't be, well, he would be without flesh. The body and blood of Christ that gives us life every week in the Eucharist wouldn't have material form. Of course we should remember her, honor her, but there was something in the bowing and the reverence that I didn't know what to do with, that I still don't quite know what to do with. Mary was a stranger to me. We hadn't talked in years. Because we stopped talking about Mary after Sunday school, and when she was mentioned, rarely in the spaces I found myself in, I saw her used. Specifically, I saw her submission to God used as a bludgeon to make women small. And it made me sad. I heard people talk about Mary meek and mild and full of grace, and I could not reconcile the blindly obedient, unquestioningly good woman that they talked about with the person that I had seen in my mind's eye as a child. The powerful, courageous woman who followed God into difficult places and refused to bow to the pressure of those around her. The pressure to disappear. Mary made the ordinary, even the terrifying and the ugly ordinary, holy by saying yes to God, by offering everything that she was and everything that she had to God. She took up space. She gave life to Jesus, to God himself, and when she looked at her situation, a situation that the world pitied, she called it a blessing. And echoing God's own words on the seventh day of creation, she called it good. Mary had the audacity to tell God to make more wine when they ran out at a wedding. When Jesus was making a name for himself, casting out demons and preaching to crowds, she tried to take her son home where he would be safe. And when he refused, when he said his own yes to God and ended up dying on a cross, she was there too. Yes, she was obedient, but her obedience is not the unthinking obedience of blind acquiescence and resignation that what will be, will be. Mary was no wallflower. No victim of circumstance, she was impossibly strong. She was young. Tradition says 13, and she was pregnant before she was married. Society told her she was ruined, but God told her she was blessed. She was a mother who loved her son. She wasn't afraid to tell him off when she thought he needed to hear it, but she did ultimately trust him because she did ultimately trust God. She did follow him, even to the very foot of the cross. Yet somehow, with all of this, Mary all but disappeared from my faith, the faith of a young Anglican girl as that faith grew, as it was tested, as it was strengthened and formed. And I know I'm not alone. It's happened to a lot of us. And in his book, For the Life of the World, Alexander Schmemann writes that in the West, Mary is primarily the Virgin, a being almost totally different from us in her absolute and celestial purity and freedom from all carnal pollution. In the East, she is always referred to and glorified as Theotokos, the Mother of God, and virtually all icons depict her with a child in her arms. The Church, the whole Church, has always had a complicated and contradictory relationship with Mary. And I wonder if that's where we get it wrong. We try to make her make sense, and we end up making her inaccessible and distant and confusing, overly complicated, and yet at the same time, overly simplistic. She's the pure virgin and the selfless mother, and is that it? So that's where I pause, not quite knowing where to put my feet, because I don't want to take away Mary's humanity by worshiping her as a Platonic ideal of womanhood, and I don't want her to disappear. I do not want to limit her influence to Sunday school classrooms. Because Mary is someone, a child of God who didn't give a hoot when the world told her who she was. She only cared who God told her she was. And that's a word, that's a message, and a kernel of hope that we all need. She made the ordinary holy simply by saying yes to God. So what if Mary is all of us? We can, and we should, all make the ordinary holy, and we do so by saying yes to God. We can and we should live into the messy parts of faith as well as the pretty, shiny, inspiring parts. We can and we should talk back to God. We are called to be whoever it is that God has called us to be, to the fullness of who God has called us to be, even when it's inconvenient or difficult or ugly or boring. Mary is an excellent example of a life of faith embodied in difficult and worth it. The church has gendered Mary, which shouldn't surprise us because we tend to gender everything, but what happened when we gendered her is that we entrenched gendered expectations and personality traits and ways of being faithful to an exaggerated and borderline comedic degree, where Mary is unattainably good, where she is simultaneously the perfect mother that we can use to mum-shame good moms, and the perfect virgin that we can use to keep women small. But Mary is only as much about womanhood as she is about humanness. And humanness, according to Mary, is about faith. It is about following where God leads without fear. It is about knowing who you are because you know who your God is. It is about loving more than you ever thought you were capable of and bearing impossible sorrows with kindness and grace. Not because you're a superhuman, but because you know that God has equipped you to follow God. Whoever you are, however you understand yourself, Mary in all her complexity, whether she's giving birth in an unsanitary stable next to livestock, or sitting at the foot of the cross while her son breathed his last breath, or bejeweled on an icon enthroned in heaven, Mary is you. Mary is an example to all of us, not to all women, but to all of humanity, to each and every one of God's children, men, women, non-binary, trans. Mary's yes, her courageous and unwavering yes, her unstoppable love, her strength, her sorrows, her faith. Mary is an example of faith, real faith, tested by real problems, by fear and vulnerability and uncertainty and pain, and that's encouraging. At least it is to me. That call to make the ordinary holy by taking your faith seriously and seeing where it leads is encouraging. Just imagine what would happen if everyone who calls themselves a Christian the world over did that. Imagine what would happen if we, those of us gathered here tonight, did that. Because I hope we do. Amen.